be in order, please. Ms. Smith, I have a request from the commissioner to recall a witness. Commissioner Clark.
I'll leave it up to Ms. Smith to decide which one you think is best able to answer my question. But basically, I have two sets of questions. One is on this long length of line. It's probably 30 miles long. It starts on Exhibit 12C and runs through at least half or a little more of 12D, where it's sort of a straight line shot. And the line is just off the section line. And we had a number of commenters, both here, but I think in Carrington too, regarding why it's just off that section line for such a long length of road, or for such a long length of line. And then the other is someone who can just answer questions about the weighing of factors that went into consideration of the northern route as opposed to the southern Highway 200 route.
Okay, and the same witness that we are going to call will be able to handle those questions.
Great, thank you.
And so I'd recall Dwayne Phillips.
All right. For perhaps the last time, Mr. Phillips, you understand, of course, that your testimony continues under oath, subject to the penalties of perjury.
I understand that I am under oath, Your Honor.
Commissioner Clark.
Thanks. Mr. Phillips, if we could, I think you'd heard my question before, but if you turn to that 12C where the line takes a straight easterly, I guess depends on which way you're looking at it, but east-west route coming off that diagonal and runs straight for quite a while, several townships. Why is it that was right off of the line as opposed to on the line as it is in so many other places?
On the section line?
Correct.
That east-west portion, again, the exact location of that had to do with some wetlands that were in the area, but was primarily a straight line, 1,000-foot-wide corridor that goes between occupied residences. You can see on Exhibit 12, Charlie, in the middle, that we've got three occupied residences in section. One of the numbers is covered up. Section 10. Section 11. There's another one just on the east side of the McCluskey Canal that
right,
kind of defined the north side of that.
But if I can ask, I mean, it looks like the corridor route moves the line closer to those three residences as opposed to it if you were to just run it down the south end of the section line.
And then in going over on the south side in terms of residences, we would have to go to Exhibit 12 Delta, and towards the western portion of that, there are a number of homes that are just on the south side of that, at 10th Street Northeast in Boone Township. So it was really a desire to get in between those while, again, and I apologize for jumping back and forth, Commissioner Clark, but in Exhibit 12 Charlie, when we get down closer to 10th Street Northeast in Hellman Township, which is the township just east of the McCluskey Canal, you see that there is a number of large water bodies that are in sections 15, 14, and 13. Well, actually, it might not be section 15, but section 14 near the section 15 line, section 13, and then again going across that 12th Avenue Northeast. So
I'm sorry. Again, in which township was that?
That is in Hellman Township.
Okay.
Which is just to the east. It's Township 14776.
Okay.
And if you look just south of the proposed corridor, In sections 14 and 13, you see a number of large water bodies over there.
Wouldn't it be easy enough, though? I mean, I understand we've got some water bodies there close to that section line, and we've got on 12D one or two residences along that 10th Street Northeast. Wouldn't it be easy enough to run the corridor, though, for many miles, right down the section line, actually move the line away from a number of residences if you just moved it on the south side of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of Mountain City Township and 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of Hellman Township. I mean, you could run it right down the section line for quite a ways, couldn't you? And then when you had those few areas like the water bodies or those two residences in Boone Township, you could just shade it away from there slightly, couldn't you?
Well, certainly some different options are possible within that area, yes.
Wouldn't those options mitigate some of the impacts that we've heard about today?
I'm not sure what would be mitigated by that other than the preference of some landers.
Well, wouldn't it be impact on? Wouldn't it be? Line. Wouldn't it be impact on cropland?
The impact on.
Well, it'd be impact on farming operations.
The impact on farming operations would not change.
Why is that? I thought we heard from a number of landowners who said that if you moved the corridor in line eventually closer to the section line, it becomes much easier to farm.
I think to answer that we need to talk a little bit about placement of structures relative to section lines. We did hear a number of landowners that talked about a preference of setting a structure or a center line, if you will, approximately 33 feet off of the section line, which is what the typical road right-of-way is along sections in North Dakota. The challenge that we have on that is that most of the county and township, depending on the jurisdiction and the planning authority there, have setback requirements associated with how far we need to be off of the section line. And those vary from a county and a township. The other one is it really becomes a safety concern. If I could draw the commission's attention to Exhibit 10, Alpha, on the left-hand side of that, there is a depiction of a typical monopole structure, and it has dimensions on it. And you'll notice that the lower arms, if you will, that would hold the transmission facility are 29 and a half feet long. So if we were able to place in terms of variances and placement of a transmission line just off that 33 feet off of the section line, you would have an energized portion of the transmission facility that basically hangs out over the road. So that's a safety concern on a number of different issues associated with that.
Aren't there large sections of this line that do run right along section lines?
There are portions of the corridor that do run across section line. That is correct, sir.
So why is it a problem in this particular section but not in those other areas of the line where it does run across section lines?
Well, in those other areas to where the corridor is residing either on the section line or it's laying across the section line, the placement of the structures is still, once we get to that route portion of that, it is not going to be 33 feet off the section line unless that's a closed section line. Then we have some different options.
But it sounds like it will be closer than in this particular length of line that we've been talking about, wouldn't it?
And so one of the other things that you had asked earlier, sir, is in terms of a placement of that, what we find typical from landowners and our landowner conversations is once they understand that that we cannot place those, the transmission poles of the structures, approximately 33 feet off, and then so that they are going to have to be in the agricultural tilled area of other farm fields. So you're not really minimizing the impact on that. If they're going to have to farm around it anyway, then normally their preference is to move it out into the field enough so that they can get the larger equipment all the way around. So it actually is less impacting to have the transmission structures a couple of hundred feet into the field than it would be to have them, for instance, 75 or 80 feet where they couldn't get that larger equipment between the road or the edge of their field and the transmission structure.
It's your understanding that, or it's your belief that the testimony from the landowners along that section of line is due to their misunderstanding of where the line would actually be routed in the impact on their operations?
I don't believe that I would characterize that as a misunderstanding on their part. I believe that those landowners would really like to have the structures 33 feet off the section line. That's just not something from a safety perspective that we're able to do.
Maybe, let me take another run at this. But there are large sections of the corridor which are sited right over the section lines. Now, even in those cases, you're telling me because of safety, there may be reasons that it's not going to be 33 feet right from the right-of-way. But we've heard from a lot of landowners on this section of line that they would feel much more comfortable having the corridor on the section line, as it is in many other spots on this corridor. What's the difference?
Well, the difference in this area was when we were siting and made the proposal for the corridor, taking all of the impacts into consideration, including the water bodies and the homes on the south side and on the north side, we found a 1,000-foot corridor that could minimize all of those impacts so that we didn't have occupied residences within the corridor and didn't have the large water bodies that we would then have to consider when we got to the routing stage. So that's why that location for the 1,000-foot corridor was made, because we could get through there with the 1,000-foot wide without those impacts or those avoidance criteria being inside the corridor.
Let's could you talk a little bit about the again, the Highway 200 corridor versus the corridor that was selected, and differentiate those?
Yes, I can. Let me pull up the exhibit that had the route segments on it, and I apologize for not knowing the number off the top of my head. It's Exhibit 6, and again, Exhibit 6 does not have the level of detail that we would like, but the Highway 200 corridor was one of the corridors that we considered very early on. When you look at a map of North Dakota, just the way Highway 200 runs, it kind of seems at first glance like an obvious opportunity to go in a parallel on that. But when we began looking at it in detail, right along the Highway 200 area, as was pointed out by some of the landowners who I heard earlier today, that's where most of the towns and cities are along there. There is a large number of residences, maybe not in each individual township area, but when you look at the Highway 200 corridor as a whole, there are a large number of residences through there. It was particularly challenging in the areas of Foster County around the Carrington region. that was a very challenging area. And then the other one towards that Highway 200 corridor was around the Cooperstown area as well. Between center pivot irrigation systems that were in there, occupied residences, the actual city areas of themselves, and airports located within those areas of that corridor along Highway 200 had a much higher impact.
To what degree were road conditions factored in or considered at all? We heard a number of folks testify today that, you know, the construction along 200 is going to be a lot easier from an access standpoint than the northerly route, which is very remote.
Well, again, when we talk about construction activities, most of the construction traffic by the heavy equipment that is used to auger out the foundations, cranes used to put in the rebar and the anchor bolt, the cage, as well as the set of the structure on the foundation, are just going to move up and down the right-of-way. So moving up and down the right-of-way, whether that right-of-way is in the general vicinity of Highway 200 or one of the other North Dakota highways, or whether that's off of rural areas, is not going to be an impact to the construction activities that are out there. Now, there is some merit to discussions of supplying the concrete to the actual foundation, and some of that will have to be along the rural roads that are in the area. That's why we've been working with counties and townships to talk about those rural roads. That's why we intend on putting together the traffic plans that will identify which roads are capable of handling those loads, which ones are not capable of handling those loads, and we fully expect that some temporary access measures, whether it be along the roads or whether that be along the right of way, are going to need to be put into place to handle the construction activities in those areas. So that's from a construction perspective. From an operations and maintenance perspective, the operations and maintenance typical activities don't require well-defined, well-laid-out highways or other type of roads. Most of it's done by aerial, so you know that does not become a large factor in siting of the corridor or siting of the routes. Now, obviously, constructability, as was testified earlier, is one of the considerations, but there aren't any areas in here that we feel that are not constructible.
Okay, and then I think one last question just on the Alkali Flats route. I'm looking at Exhibit 6. And one of the suggestions that has been made is that a more southerly route should be looked at to avoid that area altogether and to bring the line up and from basically the straight south. I see one of the potential route segments that was reviewed was basically along far southern Grand Forks County. But I see that there's a segment that was considered but eliminated that sort of hooks up that southern route. And I don't know if I'm being very clear on that or not, if you can see where I'm talking about. It's right between Nelson and Grand Forks County.
The red colored segment, sir?
Right.
Yes, I know where you're at.
So was that one of the reasons that southern route was eliminated? And if so, could you tell me what the rationale was? Or was it just more a matter of paralleling that WAPA line for some period just made more sense? Or?
The route goes through the southern portion of Grand Forks County there, again, when looking at the impacts of the totality of the impacts for that eastern section of the line in terms of occupied residences and prima farmland through that area, there was a much higher impact on that, and that's why that northern route or the northern proposed corridor in the North Dakota process was selected.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Yeah, so let's follow up to, I think I would prefer to follow up to Commissioner Clark's questions.
I don't
then,
have any.
And then go back to direct for your rebuttal.
Okay.
Okay, so questions, Ms. Smith?
I don't have any questions on that.
Mr. Sagsveen?
I'm, of course,
Commissioner.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm going to ask you, Mr. Phillips, about the other section that looked, from a layman's standpoint, like a reasonable alternative. And the question is simply this: why couldn't this line run more directly east of the center substation and avoid Terry Schulte's driveway? Because it looks to me like there's absolutely nothing in the way.
The area of Oliver County between the center substation and the Missouri River, you know, again, was defined by a couple of different areas there. One was the need to get it north of the Wilbur Bolt Wildlife Management Area, which is an avoidance area there. And then going across in an easterly manner in there, when we were looking at that, there were two occupied residences. One, as we heard today, was Ms. Schulte's property. The other one that shows here is an occupied residence. That is the first, to my knowledge, that I've heard that is not an occupied residence. And then the other thing is going more south was the proximity to the existing DC transmission line. We did consider one that went a little bit more south of where we are proposing to go, but the majority of the landowners, and I apologize, I do not have an exact number for you, but the majority of the landowners in that area had asked us to go towards the northern portion of that run, more towards the section line.
Well, now that you know that that's an abandoned farmstead in section 32, is there any reason that this couldn't run a little more south than it's planned to now?
Other than the landowner concerns in that area, I know of no reason off the top of my head. We'd have to take a look at that.
Okay, thank you. Nothing.
Further questions from the commission? Now, Ms. Smith.
That answered all of the things that we were going to talk about. So I have no follow-up to that.
Okay. Mr. Sagsby.
Try not to beat a dead horse here. If you look at 12C, where it, in section 7, where it, the line starts to go east, so I'm going to try to follow up on Commissioner Clark's questions, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, or you can too. You had indicated that if it was to go along the section lines between, you know, starting in the west, section 7, say it all the way to 12, that might create a safety issue because the length of the pole support might hang out. Is that one of the reasons along the section line there, or did that not apply in that area?
Placing of the structures in a very close proximity to the section line creates that safety hazard.
So if the section line is not developed per se, let's just from a map looking at the map here, it doesn't look like there's anything but maybe a two-wheel track there at most, because there's no street name or no what it doesn't appear to be developed as far as the section line goes. Does that make a difference to you, or do you just make it common practice to try to stay off of all section lines regardless of whether or not they appear to be well traveled or not?
And to answer that, I am not enough of a legally versed in North Dakota a law and in real estate a law that to understand completely the difference, but my understanding is that even if there is not a road along the section line, unless through some illegal proceeding, and I wouldn't know exactly what that is, that section line has been closed, that there is always the opportunity to place a road there. And so we would have to consider, even though there's not a road, that there could potentially be a road there.
I don't have any additional questions.
Mr. Lean?
A couple. What was I hearing about him allowing you to put right-of-way on over road right-of-ways in Minnesota? Is there something different in Minnesota?
Well, there is a means by which you can overlap right-of-ways between utility facilities and road right-of-ways. That would need the right-of-ways permission. So the owner of that right-of-way, if we were talking about something like the Highway 200 corridor, that would be the North Dakota Department of Transportation. But Minn Kota would incur some liability concerns associated with that. In most states, if you are in the road right-of-way, even if you have a permission, should that road ever need to be expanded or the owner or the holder, and I apologize if I got the wrong legal term, but basically if the North Dakota Department of Transportation wanted to widen the road, then the expense at moving that transmission line would be on the power company. You know, and so that raises up a liability concerns. In terms of what we heard with the Fargo to Monticello line, I don't know of any structures there that are being placed in the I-94 interstate corridor. You know, that doesn't mean that they aren't, but I don't know of any.
The section that Commissioner Clark was looking at on 12C, there is a road along that section called 10th Street Northeast.
Yes, that's on the east side of the McCluskey Canal.
Is that the area we were talking about? You can't get too close to the road, or?
No, that close proximity to the road would apply to any roads or open section lines that were in there.
I'm noticing that 10th Street Northeast crosses right by those large bodies of wetlands in sections 13 and 14 to the north of them. It would seem like you could get closer to those and get further away from the house and make everybody happier getting closer to the section line there. What I'm wondering is if the corridor were a little bit wider through that section, we could deal with those issues when the route was designated.
One of the other challenges that you have through this area when we talk about a potentially shifting the corridor is on the east side of the McCluskey Canal through through the majority of the rest of Sheridan and the county there is where the planned Sheridan Ridge Wind Farm goes. So that the corridor that we have now is one that in conversations with Otesco is compatible to their wind farm siting and plans that they have for that area. But it's not, if we were to look at a shift that, then that might impact the plans they have.
Have you heard that Otesco is going to go forward? That I've heard of that project before too, and frankly, I think it's in trouble.
I was not at all of the meetings associated with that, but I do know that Otesco has some definitive plans that are made up, and that they have a strong opinion that project will at some point in time go forward and be constructed. As to exact timelines and exact status of that project, I could not speak to that, sir.
I'm still wondering if we went a little wider than 1,000 feet, if we would have a problem with that, with this corridor. It's inside the macro corridor study area that has been studied in the EA, and I'm just wondering if there's any problems that are seen with that on your part.
What has been proposed has been 1,000 foot wide corridor.
Right. Oops. Another question I had was on paralleling the DC line. What is stopping us from running? It seems to me you're crossing in on the south side of the waterfowl area, of the Wilbur Bolt area. And you could just parallel that line all the way coming out of the substation area.
The existing transmission line actually passes through the Wilbur Bolt Wildlife Management Area, which the 1,000-foot proposed corridor, even though it does encompass the very northern portion of the Wilbur Bolt Wildlife Management Area, as was testified earlier, the route and the transmission facility itself would not encroach on the Wilbur Bolt Wildlife Management Area.
But if it were on the south side of that line, it would miss the Wilbur Bolt area, right?
If it was on the south side of the DC line?
Yes.
Yes, it would.
But we can't put it there either, or?
The concerns about going to the south side of the DC line is now you would end up with multiple crossings of the existing line, which is problematic in terms of reliability and operations and maintenance considerations that goes along with multiple crossings of any of the transmission line. Also, to the southeast side, if you will, looking on exhibit 12A, where the words of the laydown area are coming out of the center substation and trying to make the turn and get to that south side was also challenging with the amount of existing transmission lines that are out there, including the feeds out of the Milton R. Young 1 and 2 plant. You have existing 230 lines. There is as Oliver County 1 and 2 wind farm lines that are also coming into that area. So there's a number of lines out there in between the ground terrain and the layout of that and all the existing lines. The decision was made to go north and on the north side of the Wilbur Bolt Wildlife Management Area.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Questions by the commission. Commissioner Clark.
going to take one more run at this, and it's spurred by a question that Mr. Sagsveen asked. You had responded to his question regarding why not put it on the section line, saying that there are safety concerns if you place it there. Yet there are a number of spots with fairly lengthy lengths of line that where the corridor is basically following the section line. Should we be disallowing those portions of the line, of the corridor, in those sections where it is basically following the section line?
The earlier question had to do with the physical placement of the poles at 33 feet or just off of 33 feet. The corridor that we are proposing is a 1,000 feet wide. I mean, I talked about the reasons why we can't put it, why we couldn't put a facility directly on the section line or in very close proximity to it. But if we have 1,000 feet to work with, to route within, some of those corridors do fall on the section line. That doesn't mean that the route will fall on the section line.
Okay, so there would not be a problem putting the corridor as defined on Exhibit 12C continuing into 12D on the section line.
Other than if you were to place the corridor on there, you do increase the potential impacts that you have in terms of the larger water bodies, and if you follow that corridor all the way over, occupied homes within the corridor.
Although you'll be moving, wouldn't you be moving away from a number of other occupied homes further and adhering to at least some of the wishes of the landowners as we've heard expressed today?
If you move that corridor down to the section line, you would move away. You would move further away from the three homes that are in Mountain City and Hellman, and then you would include the two home areas in Boone Township within the corridor.
Isn't that only assuming if that Minn Kota just runs a straight line and doesn't choose to vary it a bit?
That would be correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Further, Commissioner Kramer.
Okay, I'm going to go back to Oliver County again. And grant you that if you run the line directly east of the center substation, you're going to run into the Wilbur Bolt Wildlife Management Area, and that if you go south, you're going to end up crossing the DC line a couple of times, and you don't want to do that. So if, as it angles out of the substation to the northeast, if you extend that, you know, to the section line and then go directly east, cross directly east there, you'll go to the north side of Ms. Schulte's home, and she'll be happier. Now, I also see that when you do that, you're going to get closer to another residence, but not as close as you are currently to Ms. Schulte's home. What would be wrong with that scenario?
I just want to make sure I have that correct, Commissioner. You were talking about running to the north side of the sections. That would be section...
Like
26, 25, 30, 29.
Yes.
Well, there's a occupied residence. Basically, it looks like it's on section 25 in the northeast of the corner that is just south of the section line. So that, you know, that would put that residence almost right in the middle of the corridor if we were to move the corridor and abut it against the north section line. And then there are a number of other homes, because that was one of the areas that we looked at along that 22nd Street southwest that is there. And then, as Ms. Schulte pointed out, there are a couple of homes on the east side of Highway 25. There's another one that is looks like it's on the south side of section 24. So it was the homes that kept us from driving to that north side of the section.
Okay, what if we only went to the what if we went to the half section line there, 27, and then veered straight east?
Yep,
the half section line.
And then the difference between going across the quarter section line or basically moving in a half mile on north and where we have it now was the difference in the land use on the eastern portion that is tilled land. Where we are going across is almost all pasture. Where we have a proposed to go across, excuse me.
I understand. Boy, it looks to me, and again, it's hard to tell, but how much of a difference? I mean, how much more cropland or tilled land than pasture land? Talking.
And I don't have those exact statistics for you, Commissioner, but section 27, the majority of section 26, section 28, as you go more east, and I believe the southeast corners in both 29 and 30 are all tilled farmland. I would have to go back and check the data points we have for that, but just looking at the map and trying to recall just off the head, you know, just off my head from memory. All right. Those were the challenges in that area.
All right, thank you. I have nothing else.
Commissioner Clark.
I'm curious, would MnCOTA be willing to file late filed exhibits that would give the commission the opportunity to look at what a corridor, a different corridor, say in Ms. Schulte's region would look like? I mean, to me, it would make more sense to perhaps dip that corridor down towards the south, parallel the DC line a little bit further than you already are, get the corridor out of her front yard, and then a similar exhibit which would allow the commission to look at what a corridor would look like running down the section lines as we've been discussing at some length in exhibit 12 C and D.
Can I interject just a quick thought to the fellow commissioners? We've talked before about requesting to keep the record open.
Just because there's a lot of things like you just brought up that I don't know if that's something that what's better, because this is a very big line. So I can see us getting into a work session and having a lot more questions like this come out and then trying to get those back into the record. So I don't know if it's better to ask for a bunch of late exhibits or to keep the record open.
Or deny it.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I'm trying to do is to, the commission's always in a position of trying to ask itself as compared to what, and that's really what, sometimes it's as compared to the rules as they're written, sometimes it's as compared to is there a corridor that may provide some relief from some concerns that have been raised at hearings like this. And whatever the process is for allowing us to make that comparison, I think it would be helpful for the commission, and I think perhaps helpful for MnCOTA as well.
You know, commissioners, I'm a little bit embarrassed to respond. I'm unsure of the procedure to keep the record open.
I don't even know that it is a legal procedure.
I talked about it. Well, you know, I have done that in other hearings in other agencies, but the situation, those weren't public hearings. That's the problem I have. I really can't. I can't address that question. Well, certainly we can have late filed exhibits, no problem. But I can also anticipate, Commissioner Koch, that there's an advantage in being able to, in the course of a work session, say, well, okay, so you know, one thing leads to the next. So then you'd really like to be able to request the company to participate to provide additional information as you undertake your deliberations. I would tell you that off the top of my head, I really don't think that is possible because of the requirement for a public noticed hearing.
Okay.
So I wouldn't want to say no, but I can't do that. I'm not comfortable doing that at this point. So I guess what I would, the only suggestion I can make to you is to, is a request for the late filed exhibits, which you requested.
Okay, fair enough.
Ms. Smith.
I actually, I'm sorry, can I make a response to the late filed exhibit? There's an issue that I see that I want to clear up before we go further. Is that all right? A legal issue?
What? Are you going to object?
No, but what I'm going to say is that you have a notice issue if we are asked to look at a new route that affects landowners outside of this corridor. That's the only thing I'm going to say, because we have a duty to make sure that we have a record that's viable and not going to be challenged on notice issues. I understand if you have an area where it's the same landowners, but I think we've got an issue with one that's different landowners.
Mr. Sangsby?
Well, I think we are already kind of sitting on that issue based upon the fact that the corridor proposal is 1,000 feet, which I think in your kind of opening statements, and I think everyone recognizes that the width of the corridor is within the discretion of the Public Service Commission.
Mm-hmm.
So that in and of itself presents the same problems that you just talked about, because if we were to deviate by any foot or any, 100 feet or 1,000 feet, we'd be potentially having a notice problem. Just the same as if we were to accept a late filed exhibit with an alternative or maybe a slight adjustment. And I think if we were to conclude that there couldn't be any adjustment in any of this, then certainly there'd be no reason to have any landowners testify as to some alternative options. But I think it's, this obviously it's a little off the cuff, but arguably, it's within the discretion, I think, of the Public Service Commission to adjust the route or the corridor up to the maximum limits that are identified in statute. If that presents a notice problem, I think we're going to have to look into that a little more deeply. But we can end this hearing and proceed under the understanding that it could be adjusted at the will of the Public Service Commission.
When you say adjusted, what? Are you saying that the commission can move the corridor or widen the corridor without further notice?
Aren't they both? Isn't that the same question? Well, I'm not talking about 1,000 feet
And not if you're going to take the same width and move it north-south.
No, I'm sorry, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about purely width issues where the code talks about, the width may be no more than, I believe, 6 miles wide,
right,
and something like that. And I believe the code provides the commission with the discretion to make it smaller. Similarly, if the corridor request is for 1,000 feet, I would say a good argument could be made that the statute authorizes the commission to make it larger. Now, I'm certainly willing to hear Ms. Smith's opposition to that.
But let me be clear about what Commissioner Clark requested. He's looking at alternatives to a 1,000-foot wide corridor, say several hundred feet north, south, whatever.
Sure, it'd be something,
yes,
that the commission could consider.
Yes,
as when we get into work sessions, as potential alternatives.
Ms. Smith,
otherwise,
your position, it can't be done without notice.
It's my position that if you are moving the corridor and the people do not know that that's where the proposed corridor is going to be located, then they may not have said anything because they didn't know that's where it was going to be proposed. And I understand if you're talking about the same landowners that maybe have voiced an issue, but when you are talking about maybe trying to move to a quarter or a half section line or something, that's a very different situation.
Sure, and that's a good point. My only, I if anything, I think this might be helpful for Minn Kota, because if the commission doesn't have any alternative except for the corridor that's proposed, then it becomes effectively a yes-no question for the commission as opposed to more flexibility that we might otherwise have. But I appreciate the concern expressed.
See, that's wider than 1,000 feet.
In my ignorance, prudence seems to me that for the moment that Ms. Smith's advice is appropriate. Notice is fundamental to everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And I agree. We didn't put all this work in to wind up with a defective record. That's for sure. So I think we should not do that. But at the same time, as you heard the commissioners, it seems to me that as both the counsel for Minn Kota and counsel for the commission should aggressively pursue an alternative to, if there is one, to getting the information which Commissioner Clark and the other commissioners seek. Because Commissioner Clark is right, otherwise they wind up with a yes or no decision, which I think is not in anybody's interests. So I guess, Commissioner, I would say that we're not able to do what you want, and let it be at that, and the lawyers should look to a solution if they care.
Well, there are usually ways to do that. It may take a little bit more time than
And it may be that we're going to have to notice a further hearing.
I mean, you know, the alternative, of course, is
that we have our work session and we approve 220 miles of 257 miles, and we don't approve 37 miles, and then you're stuck with
you work on the other
then side. We have another a whole nother case.
All right. I don't think it's productive to pursue this now.
I don't think so either.
Okay.
All right. Any commissioners, anything further from the commission? Commissioner Call.
I'm hungry.
Just so we'll let the attorneys, this is the question you and I had back in Northwood about this, so let the attorneys will sort this out after. That's the
yeah. Problem. Well, they've got their answer.
Yeah. Okay.
So they can decide what they want to do, if anything.
Okay.
Anything further, Ms. Smith? Now, I don't know. Is this? Has your rebuttal been covered, or are we still looking for additional rebuttal to Commissioner Clark's initial questions? What I want now is anything further. Commissioner Clark's series of questions.
I don't have any further on those questions.
Okay. Mr. Sagsveen.
Are you asking whether I have any?
Yes, we're still following
I don't have anything
one
further.
More round.
No. Nope.
Mr. Lean?
Nothing further.
Okay, now. Now, have you still, is there, does Minn Kota have additional rebuttal?
Can I have just 5 seconds?
Sure. Take what time you need. We're here.
There is some discussion with our group about bringing up.